first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 83. I've got Stuart Hall with me.
Afternoon.
Mr. Daniel Silva is with us.
Afternoon.
Sean Miller is with us.
Afternoon.
And Jerome Munner has literally just walked in the pub door.
Hello.
His glasses have got rain all over him. The beautiful British summertime. We are going to talk about Aston Villa in a minute, Jay. There you go. It's actually something to talk about for Aston Villa. Show 83. Jermaine Jenas was born on the 18th of February 1983. In Nottingham. There you go. Do you know how?
Say, please don't tell me that was just your right.
No, no. Do you know how he did his injury this season?
No,
officially, he tripped on the Villa Park turf and ruptured his Achilles.
So what did he actually do?
I don't know. That's what he said. He apparently just tripped.
Yeah.
How clumsy was he? Have you seen the incident? I've not seen the incident.
I saw it. He never just tripped. He was involved in a collision.
Well, he should sort out his agent should sort that out because apparently
it
he
makes
tripped.
Him sound a bit of an idiot.
He tripped.
It, really?
Yeah, he makes it sound like Boris Johnson buffoon type.
Yeah, exactly.
Tripped, ruptured his Achilles, out for 6 months. He's back at Spurs now.
Yes.
But he's not got a squad number because when he left, they gave the number 8 to Scott Parker. He went to Villa for a season.
He's not getting it back.
He's probably come back and went, you've not got a number anymore. Scott Parker's got it. I don't think he's going to get that back next season.
No.
But there we go. That's number 83 for you. Born in 1983. As was I. But that's a different story. We'll scoot on to Villa. We'll start with Villa for you. Paul Lambert's been appointed. We suggested that he might be last week when we did the show. Yeah. It's now signed, sealed, delivered.
Very happy.
He's yours.
We are really cutting edge, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, we said it last week.
We talk about stuff and it happens.
It happened. I think when we went back,
avant-garde.
Well, you were saying that that's what you hoped happened, but you weren't sure it would because I didn't think he'd go there. But they've sold it to him. They must be giving him some money as well. You would have thought.
I've
heard he's getting about 20 million to play with this summer.
So who'd you hear that from?
The mirror,
reserve manager.
Reserve manager. Good chat, Stu.
But I mean, let's be honest, you need 20 million.
Probably, yeah, definitely. We, end of last season, we used a lot of youth team players. It really wasn't working. We wasn't winning many games. So I think he needs to invest quite heavily.
To be fair, that 20 million will surely be going, majority of it, on replacing your 20 million pound striker who's just left.
Who's that?
Emil Heskin.
No, that'd be signing on for you.
But they're talking about, they're obviously talking about Grant Holt coming. Yeah. Grant Holt and Darren Bent up front could be quite nice.
I think I'm quite interested in it. If that happens, it could be quite interesting.
He's still got Charles Nzogbia in there, who cost you what? How much last season? 10, 11 million, something like that?
I think it was 12 million. He's not really performed, so hopefully he can get the best out of him.
He's
been in and out, and hopefully he can get the best out of him. But I think he's a quality player.
He's class,
I think he's a quality player.
He's had potential for years.
Yeah. And they've already said, is it Jean McCoon?
McCoon.
Who was on loan, was shipped out on loan last season.
I thought he was a really good player as well.
Well, he's going to get his chance, isn't he? They've got him back and he's going to get his chance.
I thought he was a really good player.
He was highly rated. Who's the guy that you signed from Leeds?
Fabian Delph.
Did he get a game last season at all? Was he loaned out? Because I can't.
Did he play left back or something?
He played left back a couple of games. I think he's a really quality player.
Yeah.
Good, tidy player in midfield. So, hopefully he'll get another chance as well.
Be interesting. That'll be interesting. And if he's got some money to spend, you might finish top half.
Well, that's the aim. I think realistically, top 10 for us next season.
That's what you'll be happy with.
I'll be happy with that.
They were saying on Sky Sports News, they said the Villa fans never sung McGlinchey's name once. And then Paul Lambert was unveiled at a press conference, and there was loads of fans outside singing like Paul Lambert's whatever, red and blue army.
Well, I've heard him sing McGlinchey out once or twice.
Yeah, but it's not really.
Not the same.
Not the same thing, is it?
Yeah, singing at him more than singing about him.
And they've been snapping up the season tickets, apparently.
Yeah.
2,000 sold in a day or 2 days. It's probably more than Gillingham have got, full stop.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Whilst we're on the manager changes, we'll go around the houses, because last week we were talking about Liverpool and Villa primarily. Liverpool have obviously now got the new manager in.
Yep.
And these two changes as well have given a knock-on effect. So everything's sort of changing around. So let's talk about Liverpool first. Good appointment for them?
Yeah, I think so.
The more I read about Brendan Rodgers, the more I actually think it will be a really, really good appointment.
He studied given the time.
Yeah, that's exactly the only thing.
I still think it's a big gamble.
Well, so why do you think he represents a gamble?
Because he's not, he's had one season in the Premier League, yeah, and he's completely unproved.
I think, yeah, he.
And Swansea were found out towards the end of last year.
I think.
Yeah, they were found out.
They went on a really bad run. Yeah. But to that extent, yeah. I just think the way, the mentality that he brings to a club, the way he instills what he did into that Swansea team. I think that's perfect for Liverpool. I think other clubs are like, if he went to a Chelsea or an Arsenal, I wouldn't believe. But the way Liverpool traditionally run the club, not in the last few seasons, so I'm looking beyond the Roy Hodgson debacle, beyond the Kennedy Dalglish, which they were trying to do the right thing for the club.
So Rafa, before Rafa. Rafa and before.
Can you see that?
I mean, even Rafa, they gave
this is my point. No, this is my point. There's still a hell of a lot of egos there.
Really?
There's still a hell of a lot of egos.
Stephen Gerrard.
Carroll, Suarez.
Reina.
Carragher.
Skirtle
was a nutter. No, this is what I mean. The problem is that he didn't have.
There was no egos.
No, there was no egos, they wanted to play for it. Yeah, exactly. They were a real team and a real. I think he's got a lot of hard work to do to really to emulate that. At what he had at Swansea.
I don't think it's beyond him.
The one thing that's not helped him as well is some of the players coming out and saying we want Rafa back.
Yeah.
And obviously the fans are quite behind that as well.
Yeah.
I hope that Rafa Benitez doesn't become Brendan Rodgers, Kenny Dalglish, as Kenny Dalglish wants to Hodgson, because that could happen as well. But I think that's a genuinely really good point.
I think the first thing he's doing is get rid of Reina.
Main
troublemaker.
Doesn't matter if he's a troublemaker, he's a good goalkeeper. You could say to him, right. And also, yeah, I don't.
He loves running this now. He's the one, the first one that came out. As soon as he was appointed, went, want Rafa back. Straight away.
He didn't say that, he said that before, I think.
I thought it was as it was being announced.
Yeah, really? He wanted Rafa back, yeah.
Alright, moving on. Norwich obviously had to replace Paul Lambert.
He was in the background with a little banner.
Bring back Rafa.
Yeah. Norwich replacing Lambert with
Chris
Hughton. Has he gone?
I think officials must have read this morning that
they've called a press conference at 2:30, so they've beaten us to the punch.
Hopefully it's Martin Allen and he won't come to Gillingham. What do we think of Hughton to Norwich? I think that's a good appointment
again.
They're not going to get much better than that, are they?
Yeah, I suppose so. For Norwich, it's a good appointment.
They've got no players left though.
Who, Norwich?
I'm sorry, that's QPR.
Gary QPR have released a good few.
Sorry, mate.
We've released a good 11, that's my.
I think Chris Hughton deserves a shout.
Yeah, definitely.
He deserves a go.
Although Pardew has done fantastically since he took over from him at Newcastle, he wasn't doing a bad job, he was doing
far
very
from
well.
It.
Exactly.
I think it'd be a good one, and an interesting one is that it looks like Steve Clarke to West Brom.
Yeah.
Did you not see that?
What did I read yesterday? Was it?
Well, he's left Liverpool. He's left Liverpool.
Steve Bruce get offered the job at Hull as well, or was
yes,
that?
Yeah, yeah,
he's been offered
it.
Yeah, because he was sort of basically Hull. I think apparently Hull offered him the job. And he sort of went, yeah, let me just think for a week, looking at Norwich. Right? Yeah. Norwich.
Oh, you wouldn't want to see Steve Bruce giving you the cover noise, would
no,
you?
No, exactly. Who he used to play for, because he's an ex-Norwich player. They've now sort of gone the other way, so he's going to take the whole job.
Yeah.
So, Steve Clarke to West Brom, I think that's a massive chance. It'd be very interesting to see how he manages in terms of his defensive, because apparently he's a really good coach. People have often said he's a really, really good coach.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see.
So was Brian Kidd. So was
Sammy Lee was another one who had his chance at Bolton. Didn't do too well there.
Yeah, as well at Liverpool. He was here.
Yeah. No, it'd be very interesting. If he does well there, there'll be people clamouring for him as a future England manager, I'm sure, because obviously he gets some of the players from Wavia. Now, the interesting one for me.
Scottish.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nah, sod it then. When he played for Chelsea, I always thought it was English. There you go. The Swansea one is an interesting one. These are the names that have been linked around. Holloway's been linked for a long time.
He'd be perfect for it.
But they've not made an approach, apparently. Loudrop.
Ooh.
Seen that?
Yeah.
They've been linked with some really big names. Who was the other one?
Gus Poyet.
Yeah.
Obviously, from what he's done at. Dennis Burkham.
That was the one.
Yeah. Who is managing.
He's in the youth
Ajax. Yeah. And Marcel Desailly. Apparently. Wow.
Where's
he?
Interesting.
I don't know. It's bizarre. But I know what it is. Like, I'm a fan of a club at the moment that hasn't got a manager. Anyone and anyone will get linked. They'll just put two and two together and go like, oh, that'll do.
Spurs might not have one soon either.
Yeah,
so if Spurs did become managerless, who would you want in? Would you take Capello?
No, I just don't like him.
I think under Capello you could actually win a title.
I don't think you'll win a title under Harry right now. No, I think you're right as well. I was having this conversation with my old man the other day. Like, who would we want in to replace Harry Redknapp? And I think first and foremost, like, I love Harry Redknapp. Right, I just love him as a character. I love the way he talks to the press. I love the band. I love him. I can't stand Arsene Wenger. Not because I'm an Arsenal and not because I'm a Spurs fan. I just don't like Arsene Wenger. I don't like Alex Ferguson. I don't like Kenny Dalglish. I don't like these people. I love Harry Redknapp.
Yeah,
and that's why I want to be a manager. I'd hate to have a manager at Tottenham that I can't stand.
I don't think Harry Redknapp's wife loves him as much as you do.
She does.
I think you're better than Sandra. His dogs may love him a little bit, but unconditionally.
But anyway, I agree. You know, someone like Capello could do a great job, but it'd be really hard to get behind him and feel the love.
It is funny how all of this like happens. Like, the Liverpool Villa jobs come up, they take two managers, they then take two managers. It's fascinating to watch it all happen.
But
I think it's all sort of getting sorted now, because you have to get it sorted around now, because as we'll talk about later with these release players and people releasing their players, you need to have a manager in charge looking at these sort of players to get the best deals and what have you. Alright, we're going to move on. Standout performance from the last show, player or team? Have we all got one? It's not been that much football, but have we gone one?
I've got one.
Go on.
Mexico.
Who did they play?
Brazil. Beat them 2-0.
Yeah?
Good shout.
Go on, the Mexicans.
Good shout.
Your boy, what's his name?
DeSantos. Yeah, DeSantos.
Oh, what is that? Is he ever going to get a chance?
Well, since that result last week, there's been a lot of outcry from Spurs fans. So just give the boy. He can't stop scoring for Mexico.
I know.
And where was he last season?
He was at Ipswich for a while. Was that the season before?
No, he was with us the last season. He was on the bench every week.
Really? But he play at all? I don't remember seeing him.
He came on as a substitute in the 89th minute four or five times.
Right.
But I remember I've seen him under 19s or under 17s World Cup, and he scored about seven goals.
He loves a second string.
under 17s World Cup.
He was banging them in for Barcelona.
Yeah. Barcelona B.
Can I just mention as well, whilst we're talking about managerial news, good news for Steve Keane last night, as he's one person that likes him, Paul Agnew, was made the Blackburn general manager.
Wee.
So it just reinforces his status as the head man. Well done, Steve. Sean, have you got a standout point?
Really, Danny Welbeck.
Was a good goal. He only had one chance all game. Yeah. I think if we go to the England game quickly as we started talking about it. It was unspectacular. It was, as we're going to predictions later as well, as Dan said, it's going to be boring and whatever. You can have a look at it two ways. Two games, they look very good defensively and they've not conceded. Then again, you can say two games, they've only scored two goals and not created many chances. I actually thought we looked a lot better on Saturday. I was at the game when Jermaine Defoe came on.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
He was so sharp up front, and he was so like buzzing and making his moves as he always does. I thought we looked a lot better. You can say, look, they might have been tired by the end of that game, so Defoe was fresh legs and Welbeck might have made the same impact.
But, this is a very quick side note about Jermaine Defoe. Obviously, it's just come out this morning. Really, really sad. I mean, I didn't realise he had a problem with drugs, apparently, his dad.
As we mentioned, if people don't know, Jermaine Defoe's left the England squad this morning because, unfortunately, his father passed away, so he's gone back to England. They're saying he's going to just stay a day or 2 days.
Yeah.
He will. Don't think it's going to affect Monday night at all.
No, but if it does affect Monday, it won't affect any of the later games. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it would have been starting. That's the other option. Who do we now think is going to start as the
I hope it's Danny Welbeck.
I do as well. I think it's Danny Welbeck.
No, I'd much rather have Andy Carroll.
Oh, I really would.
I watched the Belgium game. I didn't see the game before, but I've obviously heard not a lot of reports about it. But I just still think, the way we play football, I know that we created that one chance for Welbeck, and that was it. But it has to be that sort of ball, a wonderful little ball inside from Ashley Young to score the goal. But that we did it once. and nothing, and the way Danny Welbeck's a sort of striker that will latch on to those sort of opportunities, and he did it perfectly. But we as a footballing team just don't seem to create and play that
I
way.
I just think with Andy Carroll up front, it'll play to our age old weakness of like just getting the balls from the fullbacks or from Stephen Gerrard and hoofing it up.
Yeah,
I just think that many players are going to want to do that with him there.
Do we want to play pretty football or do we want to win?
I don't think that's winning football either. It's not pretty. I don't think it's effective.
Well, we won two games in a row. We played pretty much that way on Saturday. One other thing as well, it's interesting to note, France seem pretty much exactly the opposite of England at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
They are scoring brilliant going forward.
It's
but
worrying.
Yeah, and I know the opposition hasn't been great. I think it was Estonia at the weekend.
Yeah.
But they scored some great goals.
Yeah.
But apparently at the back,
Philip Mexes,
and
Shopper,
Patrice
Evra
the week before.
They're not sure if Clichy's going to start, they're not sure if Evra's going to start, they're not sure if Koscielny's going to start, they're not sure if there's still a lot of uncertainty at the back there.
So it's quite interesting. It's the two contrasting.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're looking good at the back and they're looking good at
opening game.
It will. They always are. We'll move on to that in a minute anyway. Stu, have you got a standout performance of the week?
No.
Good. I have gone for one little note to Zambia, because they climbed to 43 in the world.
I've got an absolutely blinding performance of the week. Sorry, but go first.
They climbed to 43 in the world. I know these FIFA rankings are pretty much bullshit.
Switzerland were like top and whatever.
And we're fifth or whatever.
I think we're in fourth now. But they climbed to 43 after the African Nations and they've stayed there, so they're still in 43. But Uruguay are now the second best team in the world.
Of course they are.
What?
So it goes Spain, then Uruguay. They've just moved above Germany. First time they've ever been second place as well. So my performance of the week. Do you know their last two results? 1-1 draw with Russia, 1-1 draw with Venezuela. Second best team in the world.
Pretty good.
And we've got up to sixth.
I thought we were fifth.
No, we got up to sixth, and we're now the second best team in Europe. They said. How does that make sense?
No, Spain are first and Germany are first.
Shakhtar Donetsk, we covered this last week.
Yeah, you're right.
We can't be the second best because Spain and Germany are in there.
Sure, that's what I read.
We're in the top three.
Denmark are number nine as well.
Denmark?
Yeah, I believe so. So right, that group of Denmark, Portugal, Spain, Holland contains at least three of the top ten in the world. But it might
it's not Denmark, Portugal, Spain, Holland. Republic of Ireland are in the group with Spain and.
No, Republic of Ireland are with Croatia. Yeah, Croatia, Spain, Italy.
Yeah.
So it's Republic of Ireland. No, Portugal, Germany.
Portugal, Germany, Holland and
Denmark.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go.
It's not bad.
I've got a blinding performance of the week.
Let's hear it.
And I was going to bring it on for other news, but it ties in perfectly.
Yeah.
Samoa versus Tahiti.
Oh, I saw this. I saw this.
Keep up.
Presuming this is rugby.
No,
it's not. Samoa versus Tahiti, the FIFA World Cup Oceania qualifying game.
Yep.
10-1 to Tahiti.
Yeah.
To Tahiti. But however, my standout performance does not go to the Tahiti team. It goes to their striker Tehau, who scored 9.
Oh my god.
Oh, hello.
Who scored 9. And
that's
I did a bit of research. And I could only find, I'm sure there's more, if there is more, but in a professional game, where anyone else that scored 9 goals, a triple hat trick. All I could find was the 20th of November 1971, Ted McDougall playing for AFC Bournemouth against Margate. Scored 9 in an 11-0 win in the first round of the FA Cup.
Alright, fair enough.
But, plays with two of his brothers in the same national team.
Yeah, I read that.
Ted McDougall.
Yeah. Tahau. And I believe they scored a number of goals between them in a previous game.
I was saying, it's not a wind-up, so there isn't the fact that they actually all scored, like, one scored 4, one scored 2, one scored 3,
sure.
And they put it all as the same loser.
Parade, but I think that might be the case. Yeah.
An interesting and unrelated football fact. Do you know the only player to have made his debut and be substituted going on with his father coming off?
Oh,
that's a great one.
I do know this.
He made his international debut, and as he came on the pitch,
he replaced his father.
Yes, it is.
I do know this, but I can't remember.
Well, he can't remember. Ida Gudjonsson from Iceland.
Was it really?
Came on the pitch, and his dad came off, shook his hand, and went on. Really good.
That is a great start.
Thank you very much. Performance of the week, pubcast performance of the week goes to that guy. You've got to hope he got a perfect hat trick amongst that as well. You don't. For one left, one right, and one header.
Oh yeah, all nine with his left foot.
Yeah. They're all penalties. Yeah. Damn. Right, Stuart, I believe you've got some naughty boys of the week for us.
Well, you say this, Coxon's given me some information that's 2 years out of date. Adam Johnson was done for drink driving in 2010. He was talking about Michael Johnson, who's a...
I was going to say, if it's Adam Johnson, that would be news. Yeah. That would be...
Exactly.
So he got the name wrong on the email.
Yeah, yeah, so it's Michael Johnson, the midfielder that's not done a lot for a good few years. Yeah.
He just done his cruciate ligaments for Luton on my football manager, but...
Not a surprise.
Did he chip over the turf? Yeah.
Can I just say, I love the fact how we've... Our naughty boys of the week... Just occurred out of nowhere, should I say?
Like, it's here to stay,
and it is here to stay
every
it's
week.
But I love the fact that someone is doing something stupid every single week just for us to talk about. Yeah.
Thanks, footballers.
It's not always stupid. Sometimes it's like rape and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right.
There's nothing stupid about it. It's just bad.
Just naughty. Just naughty.
And if nothing's happened, we could go out and like start a kerfuffle with someone.
Start a kerfuffle?
Yeah, yeah. Joey Barton had a bit of a kerfuffle, didn't he?
Yeah. That right.
Here's the next one.
Got beaten up in a gay club.
Was it a gay club?
What was he doing in a gay club?
You're making up.
No, he was out with his girlfriend. Yeah. You don't have to be gay to go to a gay club, Dan.
Not when you're in
your you're right, I live in Brighton.
So who else have we got? Joe Barton.
Buffon, who has been asked to...
he's in a lot of trouble.
The court are after information about 14 personal checks to the value of £1.5 million that were paid to a
Were they paid out to Harry Redknapp's dog?
No, a tobacconist shop in Parma.
Really?
So what do they actually... What do they think he's done?
It's betting, effectively. He's been betting against games that he shouldn't have been, and the checks have got his name written all over it.
Oh, dear. So, you're not allowed to bet on any football, right?
No, if you're a footballer.
You're not a footballer, you're not allowed at all.
€1.5 million. He's had a right old...
Did he win?
I don't know if he's won.
He's just knocking out cigarettes, isn't he, to the rest of his mates.
I've got another naughty boy. Who actually just popped into my head just now. Craig Bellamy.
I see that.
Naughty, naughty boy.
I see that.
He came out the last week and went, I'm not supposed to tell anyone.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm in the Euro squad. The Olympic squad.
He's done really bloody well.
Sorry, the Olympic squad.
Oh, really? But I mean, bet a load of those players are like, oh, great, got to spend 3 weeks with Craig.
That's what I mean. I mean a lot
he
of
won't be in
he's,
that.
Well, he's been quoted as saying,
that's one of the over 23's bus card for Craig Bellamy.
He will be, because there's a game at the Millennium Stadium, so they've got to put a couple of the taps in, haven't they?
And Gareth Bale's under 21, though.
Yeah, exactly. So he's fine. He's not a waste of
it. Oh, yeah, how many over 21?
Three over 23s.
I thought it was two.
Beckham would be one, you would have thought. Okay. Bellamy and I thought Giggs
Beckham
was going to be.
I think Beckham is going to be one.
Giggs.
Giggs. You should put Giggs over Bellamy. Yeah. Unless they're going to put all three over 23s.
Neville Southall, maybe. Down for old Welsh players. Put him in.
Why not?
Definitely.
But that's pretty naughty, coming out in the press and announcing before anything else that he's
the biggest shot. He definitely won't be in it.
Actually, yeah. Right. Now moving on to the real big thing I've been looking forward to. Dan, your book update, Mario Balotelli.
I love the fact that I went, whatever you do, Stokes, don't ask me about the book before and pub.
Dan hasn't finished reading the book. So I've
actually read half of it though.
All right,
and it's been making me chuckle quite a bit. It is ridiculous. But every time I'm reading it, I am picturing as if I am in the mind of Mario Balotelli, and it is really good fun.
Excellent.
I am going to pick out my favourite quotes from it, and we'll have a little story time session at some point.
All right, Jack Nori, Dan Silver.
Right, moving on. Nicholas Anelka. Did you see who he's now playing up front with? This time last year he was up front with Drogba.
Yeah.
Last week he played up front with his chairman. It's just a little, just a little Chinese man.
He's fucking excellent.
Have you not seen it?
No. Any good?
I'll dig it out.
Is that the first manager chairman relationship? Because he's managing him at the moment, isn't
he? Yeah, that's coach, right. Yeah.
Well,
that must be the first
he says he's manager. Is it John Tigana who was still there?
No, John Tigana's got sacked.
He got binned, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That must be the first ever manager chairman strike partnership.
Was it like a league game or just a...
I think it was their last league game. I'm not too sure of the details. Brilliant. I thought you would have seen
it. To be fair, if I was a chairman of football club, last game didn't mean anything. Stick me up front, mate.
Imagine Anelka's just like, I bet he didn't pass once to him, didn't he?
Right.
Alright, I will find out about that and I'll get a blog up on that as well. So the League Cup becomes the Capital One Cup.
Not bothered.
Yeah.
League Cup.
I've got 0% interest in that.
Who's Joe quote was that? Was that your own?
Yeah.
Long,
Jesus.
I've been thinking about that for a while.
You completely messed that up. No, you completely messed. Whose joke was that? He was supposed to say for someone else.
Capital One. So no one's even that bothered. We did. It was a long time ago. They've taken a long time to get the sponsorship confirmed because we actually did a feature about what we called it. I think in the end we decided for Disney. Because we always call it the Mickey Mouse Cup, or whatever. But it's a route into Europe.
The Capital One Cup, that sounds rubbish.
Yeah, but the Carling Cup sounded rubbish when it first became
the Carling Cup. Sounded better than that. There's, at least there's a bit of alliteration.
Yeah. Capital Cup.
Capital One Cup.
Well, yeah.
Two girls.
Regional as it was last week. And it's announced next Thursday as well. The draw. The first round of regional draw. 14th of June as well. So we're keeping an eye on that. We'll pick out. There's usually some derbies in there and some decent ones. Especially now it's regionalised.
Some derbies.
Huh?
Oh, no, I was going to make a fat joke. Don't worry about
that. Awful. So we've done Dan's book review. That was really interesting. score prediction time.
Right? Yes.
So last time we had England Belgium, we all got the result correct, apart from Mike and Jay. But kudos to Mr. Dan Silver. He was bang on.
Thank you very much.
With a 1-0 win, so he gets a
3 points.
Two. One for the. One bonus point for getting it bang on and one for the prediction.
Right. We're going old school.
Right.
Old school for a win.
So I'm 3-1 up.
Yep, you are 3-1-1 up. All right, this week, England, France.
I might start putting some money on these. I'm getting these, I'm getting these right.
You definitely should have put money on that.
Are we allowed to bet on football?
We're not TV Buffon, we're all right.
I think we're all right. Although, if you want any predictions, go to the elephant.
No.
Or the pig.
The fish.
Or the fish.
Or the mirror fish.
Yeah, what's his name?
Coy Hodgson.
Coy Hodgson.
Coy Hodgson. Coy Hodgson.
Yes, was that predictions?
Yes, please.
Go.
0-0. 0-0 from Sean. Alright, so what, you think England are going to keep the French at bay?
Yeah.
Even though they keep scoring?
Is that fella wearing a French shirt?
Where are you looking?
There.
And Villa, I think it's he plays for. He's not French. I think he plays for Lyon, isn't he?
No, Villa's French.
Is he? Yeah,
he's injured for the game as well.
Should we go and ask him what we think his score might be?
Yeah.
In the meantime, Stu, I'll have your prediction.
1-1.
1-1, both draws. Jay.
I was going to go.
You can still go. Go whatever you're going to go.
A 1-1 as well.
So. Dan.
I'm going to go 2-0 France. Ever the optimist.
Yeah. I'm going 2-1 England. Come on, England.
Oh, yeah, I hope you're right.
I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah, of course. John Terry to score the winner for me.
I tweeted about it the other day when I was watching the England game. I was out with my mate Tiny, I went to uni with, and he did say, seriously, he went, mate, I'm not being funny, I know we're supporting England, but is it still all right to boo John Terry? I went, absolutely fine.
Definitely.
Absolutely
in terms
fine,
of Euro openers, recently we haven't had the best of starts, have we? I remember Euro 96, the 1-1 game against Switzerland, and at the time Switzerland were rubbish. Absolutely rubbish.
A couple of years ago, they were dead in the world.
True, but not anymore.
Defensive rock.
It was Stuart Pearce gave the handball away, didn't he? And Shearer scored. Shearer scored a penalty for us as well, didn't he?
I remember.
Anyway, we drew 1-1. Shearer scored and Stuart Pearce gave a penalty away. I remember greatly as well Portugal in Euro 2000 when we were 2-0 up.
Oh God,
Darren Anderton. Was it Darren Anderton scored? No, McManaman. McManaman and Scholes went 2-0 up, and I was like, "We're the best. We're gonna win." It all went horribly wrong. Figo
Nuno
from
Gomez score.
Yeah.
I think Rui Costa might have scored as well. But yeah, I remember
Nuno Gomez. Rui Costa was a wonderful player.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Luis Figo from miles out. João Pinto and then Nuno Gomes got the first.
João Pinto, he was a good player.
But the Figo goal was from like two cities away. It was just like, oh God. And when you're 2-0 up and then something like that happens, you just get that sinking feeling.
Yeah,
you're like,
oh no.
It's not good. It's not good. And then obviously the last one was France themselves.
Yeah, and David James.
Well, I don't think you can blame David James for that.
I'm pretty sure you can blame David James for most losses.
No, Steve Gerrard did a horrible
backline. Yeah,
so are you going to still blame David James for that?
David James gave the penalty away.
I had to come out and get the ball.
Okay.
No, I didn't
get the ball though.
Maybe it was Beckham's fault. He missed the penalty apparently.
Beckham missed the penalty when we
won. I didn't actually blame David James. I just said the word.
I never blamed David James. Never. All right, that's our predictions. I've got one little thing for you as well before we move on to our release list. We've got some new iTunes reviews.
Oh, oh yeah.
We paid you for them.
No, I see 5 stars.
Give up 5 stars. A true piece of podcast excellence, a symphony of bliss on the ears, and views expressed by the very cream of journalism talent.
Now, there's no need. There's no need to be uber sarcastic.
Dot dot dot. Okay. May not be that good, but the boys are very entertaining. Great bit of banter. Then he goes on. 10 out of 10 for all performers that love the game and enjoy laugh with it. Top work.
Thanks,
Chris.
Chris,
29 in Plymouth.
Cheers, mate.
At Tim O'Bevan.
I thought that was going to go really horribly wrong, like, when he started reading that and he was being that nice.
This is from Tim O'Bevan, who I recognise him on Twitter. Possibly the second best football podcast on the interweb. Take that, won't
we? Yeah.
Nice that they have a Northerner here to balance things out. He's not here today. Yeah. Just wish Dan Silver would stop turning everything on to Spurs. Love the podcast, though. But what I thought I'd do is I would print out some more to see how these contrast to the rest of the world. So I'm just going to... I've got...
We've done all right since we've taken over. Simon Head.
And this. I couldn't listen past 5 minutes. It's painfully amateur and every idiot on the podcast has the same prediction for the season. I will take the point about this amateur, but then we call ourselves the podcast and we call ourselves an amateur bunch of guys in a pub. So kind of defeat
the objective. My team does say that we're professional.
Yeah.
I can't imagine we all agreed on a prediction for the season.
No,
either.
This is my best. This is the best one for me. James Eyes. Cheers, James. The title is Amateur Bunch of Slack-Jawed Morons. 1 star.
That should be our...
Again, hard to argue. Slogan.
Yeah. I would point out, these are all from, like, ages ago. So, there's one that says not bad, 2 stars. Right, so, okay. We'll take that.
Cheers, mate.
Childish, 2 stars, yeah. I like that as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's some childish stuff on there. We are pretty childish. But the average rating is 4 out of 5.
Wow.
It's not too bad. I'm fairly sure some of these ones at the start were probably Simon Head doing them himself. But thank you to the two guys that did bother to do it.
Cheers, lads.
And if anyone else does like us, then get on there and do it, and we'll read them out. So it's your way of getting them mentioned on the show as well. One last thing. Our friend Firas has also commented on Facebook. He said that I got his name pronunciation right, which I'm quite proud of.
Well done.
And he's looking forward to Balotelli's book review by Dan. So, sorry about that, Firas.
I'm not doing too well this week, am I?
And also, whilst we're giving these predictions, I think England will top their group. Ukraine runner-up, but Spain will make history by defending its crown.
Ukraine runner-up?
If you would... No, no. In our group.
Yeah, no. In our group even still, so France won't even...
I think our group's quite... Average. We are doing a special show tomorrow.
We are.
We are recording this on Thursday. But it will be live on Thursday, so you could well be listening to this on Thursday. If you're not, and you're listening to this over the weekend, there will also be another show up, which we are recording tomorrow night... from various establishments in Soho. We're going to be giving our review of the season, the domestic season, and we're going to be giving just a little overview of what we think the Euros are going to happen, where we think the English are going to go, where we think who's going to runner up, who's going to be the winner, everything. It will be quite drunken.
Top goal scorer?
Top goal scorer might be on there. I think we should do a player to watch from each group rather than a top goal scorer.
Okay.
Because if anyone follows our betting, they're not going to make any money, are they? Let's be honest.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Well, yeah, possibly.
But on
one result,
right? Moving on to other news.
Yeah.
On the back of Firas's prediction that
England's top of the group,
Ukraine will be runner up.
Yeah.
They might be in a bit of trouble about that.
Yeah, I saw this.
I think the manager's playing games.
Well, yeah, but I think about it's hilarious. Blocking. Ukrainian food sabotage in Germany.
That's right.
They. So, but the last game, the friendly they played in Germany last weekend, there was a severe bout of food poisoning for the entire Ukrainian, or 10 of the Ukrainian team, including Shevchenko.
Fed on a drip, isn't he?
They're in a lot of trouble. The quote, my favourite quote from the manager, though, was, "It may have been sabotage, I don't know. It cannot be accidental."
So what you're saying
is sabotage.
However, but I don't understand.
Because someone's done it thinking it'll help them.
Yeah.
That's the only way it can't be...
Exactly, not sabotage. But even, I don't get it, because they all ate different foods. So someone, if they all ate different foods,
someone's
been done very, very well to sabotage the entire... But he's convinced that it's sabotage.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's no lasagna gate. Don't talk to me about food sabotage.
Look, Firas said... No,
sorry,
it wasn't Firas. Someone said...
Yeah,
also tomorrow night, we are going to look at the released players list and come up with our 11. We're not doing it today. We're going to come up with an 11 from the release players list, Premier League release players list, and see who can come up with the best 11 as well. So that'll be quite interesting. Especially if we've done it after a few pints, we can argue the merits of Michael Owen over Andy Johnson and what have you. One quick one as well, Cardiff. We thought that situation had gone.
We did.
Turns out it hasn't.
No,
turns
out very out of the reality.
Yep. Oh, De La Hall with a gag. Ladies and gentlemen,
he didn't mean it.
I don't know if he did. That's the thing. That was brilliant.
At least they're not in the red anymore. Oh.
No, the debt's gone.
Debt's gone.
And that's it for the week. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. Way to ruin it, Sean Miller.
That would be an apt time to finish, but no, we'll talk about it quick. Because we talked about it, and then we were quite happy that it all soon be put to bed. But the owners basically said, yeah, all right, we won't do it then, dickheads, but you've got to manage your own debt. And now they've just come out and they've just done it.
The only thing that Sean Miller's got written on his crib sheet, right, is Cardiff. But
you weren't even going to say anything,
and if it's a 5-year-old reading it, there's about an inch gap between each letter and two exclamation marks. Cardiff.
Yeah, how are you spelling that as well?
That's the Welsh one.
The Welsh spelling. Yeah. That's fine. Right, just before we go, I've got a moral dilemma. My tickets have turned up.
Go on.
These are genuine. That is a genuine Euro 2012 ticket for the Ukraine game.
That's a nice ticket.
That is my quarter-final ticket, my semi-final ticket, and my final ticket.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because we're going to win it.
Yep.
We are going to win it. My situation is this. I can't afford, and I haven't got enough days holiday, to go out there for all the time. What I can't do is go out for the last group game and stay to the final, should England make it. Do I gamble that England make the quarter-final and give up my Ukraine ticket, which is sitting in front of you, or do I go to the Ukraine game?
Bloody hell.
Because what I think I want to do is I'm going to go out for the quarter final, stay out there if we make the semi final, fly back, and then if we make the final, I'm quite happy to pay another few hundred quid and fly back out for that. But if I
can get rid of this one with an F on it straight away. One with an SF on it is slight. No, still get rid of that.
So basically, guys, they're conditional tickets. So I've got a ticket for the last England group game, and then if England make it to the quarter final, semi final, final, then these vouchers become tickets.
Right.
So I've got a gamble.
You've got an actual genuine ticket here, England Ukraine, and these are three vouchers. Right.
So as soon as I just plug those in, they've got a barcode, so I just plug those into a machine out in Ukraine, and they print out a match ticket. But do I gamble that we make the quarter final? I haven't booked flights yet. And if I gamble we're at the quarterfinal and we don't, I'll be gutted because I really want to go out there just to sample it because I really like going to the tournaments. What I'm thinking of doing is waiting until after the France game.
Yeah, after the France game.
Well, bear in mind, my prediction was 2-0 and I've been alright so far. If we lose the first game 2-0, that will be a big.
But it's just a massive gamble because if you wait too long and there's something big on the Ukraine game, then all those flights will get booked up and then I can shoot from that. So I really don't know what to do. I'm in an absolute quandary. And also,
you're a bit of a pickle, aren't you?
If that game means nothing, if we're already out, there's no way I want to spend 800 quid getting out there and going to it to go to a game which we can't go through from.
It's the third game.
Last group game. Also, if we're already through, I'd rather save the money for the quarter final and don't want to be at a game that's a dead rubber. It's a nightmare.
Could you combine the two?
This England Ukraine ticket is the Achilles heel. If you didn't have this, but you add everything else, then there'd be no question. This is the one that's causing the problem.
Yeah.
Do you go out for this game?
But then, can you see the prices on it?
30 euros.
That's 30 euros. The quarterfinal, semi-final, 40 euros, and the final ticket was 50 euros.
They're complaining about ticket price. I suppose it's all relevant with
if England got to the European Cup final, I've got a ticket for 40 quid, basically.
It's ridiculous.
And these are like 30 quid tickets for the quarterfinal and semi-final. It's not bad.
But these are only valid if England get there.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. So these are null and void if England aren't in them.
Yeah, there'll be fans all over Europe with these, so there'll be a Frenchman with exactly the same as me with tickets for France, so they'll only get a guarantee.
Right, so in conclusion, I haven't got a clue what you should do.
Me neither, it is a massive
problem. Can you not?
What's the potential date difference between these?
I don't know. Fair enough. Anyway,
it's a bloody good. It's a good question though, Jim, and I wish you luck and whatever happens. And I'm not being funny. Knowing your luck, whatever you do will be wrong.
Cheers, mate. Right, so we are back with 83, show 83, extra time.
One last thing, just wanted to say, rest in peace, Manolo Preciado. Tomorrow, he's been appointed 54. 54,
yeah.
Smoked 40 a day, and it was a massive cider drink. I used to open the Asturian Cider Festival, but massive Mad. Legend, and real shame that he's passed away.
Yeah, absolutely. RIP, pass that on as well from myself and the rest of the guys, definitely. Well done for mentioning that as well. So, yeah, we are back on Friday, which will be up over the weekend sometime with Show 83 Extra Time. Disclaimer, we will be getting drunk. It is the start of the Euros, and it is a podcast birthday, so we are going to be having fun. I'm not sure how good it's going to be. I'm not sure how much sense it's going
to
make.
No,
but we're not even sure if it'll make it up, to be honest. No. But we're going to have a really good time. We're going to try and make a show.
There will be a lot of swearing, so...
Don't say that.
Don't set
a premise that you're going to do loads of swear.
Yeah, well, being a big man, I'll get drunk and swear.
I'm right, I can't put it in my place now.
Go on the website, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Complaints to @SimonHead. If you want to complain in person, Simon Head, father figure on the podcast, will be out tomorrow night on the Extra Time show, so that'll be interesting.
I bet he tries to take over, I'll be happy to do that.
And follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. That's it, guys. Anything else to say?
No.
Good. There we go.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna have to fucking.
Good way to sign it off. That was. Anyone got anything to say? No.